The title of this session is, How Can I Train New Christians? When we think about that question, how can I train new Christians, I know that's one of the first things that I thought of when I started working in this type of ministry. I remember back a number of years ago when I, actually what happened is I was visiting at the training center and the academic dean called me up one day and asked if I could substitute teach a couple of classes. Well, I thought he was joking. But the thing of it was, is that he wasn't. And I said, I don't know what I can say to these guys. I don't have the slightest idea. And he said, well, just share with them what your experiences were going to college and your first day there, because this is their first day at the training center. And just share with them some of your experiences and what you learned and how you looked at the whole time of, you know, the whole time that was before you. So I came up here and sat in on class and shared with them, and it really turned out to be an exciting experience. The guys were really open to me and what I was sharing with them, and the Lord used that in my life to get me interested in teaching in Teen Challenge. So it wasn't too long after that, as a matter of fact, 2 weeks later, I started working at an induction center. And again, that question still was much in my mind. How can I train new Christians? The director said that my job would be teaching, and particularly teaching in the personal studies and also the group studies. And it really scared me to death. But he said that you can get in there and you can start sharing with them just experiences that you've had, and the Lord will really help you in presenting the material. And going through the training course, I found that that helped a lot also. But the thing of it was, is I was looking at it thinking that there was nothing I could say to help new Christians. And that was what was scaring me so much. And finding out that new Christians are starting out as babes in Christ, and as being a Christian for a number of years, there's a lot of things I could share. And I want you to look at it that way too, that in teaching new Christians, we are starting out with people who don't have any or have very little background in the Christian life. And so the simple things are the things that are most important to them right now. We're not looking at teaching major doctrines. We're not looking at teaching philosophies or getting involved in heavy discussions of theology. But we're looking at the simple, basic truths of, first of all, what it is to be a Christian, and secondly, how to live the daily Christian life. And that can be very exciting, and it can be a joy in teaching these things to new Christians and seeing them grow. Some of the things we want to look at right now are things that will help a teacher in training new Christians. The first thing we want to look at is the attitudes of a teacher. A couple of different attitudes we want to look at. The first one here is acceptance. We need to accept our students as they are today. And this is very important, especially in this type of ministry, because a lot of the students we have never really felt accepted. And their experiences in any type of school have been, for the most part, negative experiences. They've had a lot of trouble in high school, or a lot of trouble in grade school, and dropped out of high school for that matter. And some might have done well, but still, it hasn't been an experience of acceptance for the most part. And we need to project that right away. We can look at the example of Jesus, how he demonstrated this to us. He accepted people as they were, and he loved them. And this situation of acceptance, this atmosphere of acceptance and love, gave people the freedom to really be themselves and to admit their faults, admit their problems, and that brought them to the place that they desired change in their life. If a student doesn't feel accepted, what will happen is that they will feel that they have to prove themselves, and they'll be defensive, and they will not be very quick to admit that they need to change some areas of their lives. Another attitude we need to look at is the attitude of love, of showing love. We need to find ways that we can genuinely show our love and concern for our students. Not just telling them that we love them, but really enjoy being with them. and letting them see that. That we're not just doing this as a job, training them and teaching them, but this is something that we really enjoy doing. I have a little illustration that isn't quite a classroom illustration, but I had a student come up to me a couple of weeks ago, and he said that he was admitting to me that he didn't like me when he first came into the center. And part of my job is in charge of the discipline in our center, and a lot of guys who've had problems with the law, in particular this student, had just gotten out of prison. He was in prison for the past 5 years. Has great difficulty with anyone that is an authority figure. And he said the thing that really changed his mind, where he found that he could like me, was when I was playing frisbee with the guys one day. He said that's the thing that really changed his mind about me. Before that, he saw me just as an authority figure. But when I took time out to play frisbee and go swimming with him one afternoon, he said then he could see that I was a real person. And that it wasn't just someone that he had to obey the rules and answer to about the rules. And I think that we need to show that in our teaching, that we really care for them, that we really love them. And we're not there just doing a job, and they're not there just to learn from us, but they are there, and they can be our friend, and we can be their friend, and that we enjoy being with them. Another attitude we need to look at is the attitude of affirmation. We need to affirm our students as much as possible. Many of them have grown up hearing a lot of criticism or hearing a lot of negative comments that they'll never amount to anything, that they're stupid. They've had so many different things in life to reinforce those thoughts. Failure, repeated failure, maybe even imprisonment. And we really need to affirm them in any success that they have. The classroom is not a place to criticize their work or put them down. But we need to find places and situations that we can affirm them and encourage them in whatever progress they're making. An example of this is, let's say we ask a student or have a particular question, an answer that we're looking for with a particular question. And the student will give an answer, and it's not quite right. Instead of saying, well, that's wrong, we need to get something else, we should affirm them in that. Say, that's a good try. Affirm their effort in it, even. You know, I'm glad that you're working so hard on this. Let's see what else we can find out, or what's another possibility in this situation. But if we just say that their answer is wrong, I think many times that can be discouraging, and they'll give up on even trying. But if we can even affirm their effort, they'll even be more encouraged to give a greater effort and to continue trying. Another attitude I'd like to look at is the attitude of listening. Proverbs 18:13 says it well. It says, "He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame." Listening is extremely important. If we think that we have the answers to every question or every situation, we've lost the whole battle, because they're going to tune us out right away. If our students see that we're not listening to their concerns, listening to their questions, and all we're concerned about is giving our answers, they're not going to listen very long. We need to listen. We need to demonstrate these other attitudes of acceptance, of love, of affirmation by listening. And I think that's one of the greatest ways we can do that in the classroom. Without taking the time to listen, we're doing actually as Proverbs 18:13 says, that is our folly and our shame. And as being a teacher and wanting to be successful in training new Christians, that in not listening, we won't get very far at all. Genuine listening will go a long way to help us train new Christians. Along with attitudes, we need to take a look at our approach, how we approach training new Christians. How will I approach training Christians, and contrasting that with older Christians? I have a couple of questions I want to take a look at here. that might help us. First of all, what are my goals when I teach? In teaching new Christians, am I just giving information or am I motivating change in their lives? What do I hope to accomplish today in my teaching? I think this is very important that we ask ourselves these kind of questions. What are my goals? Because if we go into a classroom or if we go into our personal studies classroom to teach and we don't have any goals in mind, we're not going to get anywhere. That's just like getting in a car and driving without having any destination in mind. You don't go anywhere. You might go someplace, but you don't even know where you are. So it's so important that we have a goal. What are we trying to accomplish? Another question that we can ask ourselves, at what level of spiritual understanding or maturity are my students? If we try to train new Christians as if they have been Christians for a number of years and understand all the basics, and we try to teach something that is for more mature Christians, it's going to go right over their head, or it'll be something that they can't handle at this time. We need to really take an honest look at the level of spiritual maturity of our students. Another question, how do my students learn best? The reason we need to ask ourselves this question is some of us might be working with teenagers. Now, teenagers are approached quite differently than someone who's 20 or 30 years old. And we need to look at these kind of things. We need to ask ourselves these questions if we're really wanting to be effective teachers of new Christians. Another question, what teaching methods are best for my students? What teaching methods are best? And another question we can ask ourselves, is the material I'm teaching helpful and relevant to where my students are today? It's very important that we look at this question. Are we teaching material that's relevant, something that they're interested in, first of all, something that's going to be helpful to them? Or is it just something that we feel would be good for them to know, but it isn't really relevant? And I would say with asking ourselves this question, we're kind of moving on into the next area I'd like to talk about some, is our philosophy of education. Our philosophy of education is our approach. What are we really hoping to accomplish in teaching? Is it just to give information, or is it to move our students onto a place where they're actually applying the information that we're giving, where they really understand it, first of all, and can apply it to their lives? We need to look at our philosophy. It's not important just to know the facts, but we need to move on from that. To know the truth, relate the truth to our lives, and then we need to help our students apply this to their daily life, to their everyday activities. Our approach must enable our students to apply what they're learning, even right where they're at that very same day, to begin to see where that'll fit in, not someplace in the future. But even that same day, their attitudes, the way they look at things, we need to be able to help our students to do that. In training new Christians, we have a tremendous opportunity to set a pattern of learning for our students. If they are taught from the very beginning to relate what they're hearing to their lives and to apply it to their lives, they will benefit from this the rest of their lives. The opposite is also true. If you as a teacher do not stress to help your students apply this truth to life, help them relate it to their lives, you'll be setting a pattern that'll be very harmful and that'll hurt them the rest of their lives. Some of the most difficult students that I've ever had to deal with were students that went through a teen challenge or a similar ministry that didn't stress the fact that they need to apply these truths to their lives. They went ahead with the Greek philosophy just knowing the facts. These students, in nearly every instance, were very knowledgeable of Christian teaching, very knowledgeable of all the different facts that we're also teaching, but had never applied it to their lives. And they moved on thinking that they were doing very well. They graduated the first part of the program because they knew everything they needed to know. They moved on to the second part and continued to approach their learning the same way. Just learning facts, knowing facts. The problem came in is that in not applying these things they were learning, they finally came to a point where they fell, backslid, or they got high, or had some serious attitude problems, or they're having to be sent back to an induction center. And I can think of a number of times where we've gotten a guy sent back to us who had gone to a different center, and the comment we receive is, we need to try to salvage this guy. Well, the thing that I see is that it is next to impossible, without the Lord's help, to back up and show this person how they need to apply everything they've learned from the beginning, because they are still believing that just knowing the facts is enough, and that they're doing fine, and they can't understand how this happened to them, that they fell. And it's only through the Holy Spirit really showing that truth to their lives that they need to apply all these different things that they can ever change. The sad fact is that many times we don't see that happen. This pattern of learning that just knowing the facts is enough is so ingrained in them by that time that you can't just share with them the fact that they need to apply these things. It usually comes to the place where they need to learn that themselves the hard way, and which many times ends up leaving the program and coming back maybe a few years later and having to go through all this again, this time applying the things that they're learning. So what I'd like to stress right now is that we as a teacher in training new Christians, it's very important that we set that pattern from the very beginning, that they apply the truth, that they relate this to their lives, and they apply it right where they're at today. And some of the ways that we can help our students do that is by giving them many examples of maybe how we've done that or how other students have done that in the past, and try to bridge that gap of having knowledge of to where they can see or it's relevant to them, and then how they can even apply it. We need to give them examples and maybe even tell stories of how they can put this into practice in their lives and ask them questions of different problems they might be facing in this particular area where they can see how this will fit in, this will help them apply this biblical truth. It's very important that we do these things, that we teach our students to apply the biblical truth. Another thing I'd like to talk about is what should we teach? What should we teach? I know sometimes teachers in teen challenges and other ministries find it boring to teach very simple truths all the time. They can find it boring, especially if you've been teaching it a number of years. You find yourself teaching, it seems, the same things over and over and over. But it's important that we keep in mind who we're teaching, that we are training new Christians, that we're training babes in Christ, and that they need to hear these truths. And it's very important that we see that we keep that in mind, that we keep that in focus, that we must train them in the simple truths first of all, so that they have that proper foundation as a Christian. It'd be very foolish to try to begin teaching new Christians on prophecy or maybe end times theology, because the hard part would be, how do we relate that to their lives today? It's great to know these things, and it's many times we find that many churches we go to are teaching series on end times theology or last days, and these are exciting things, but does that apply to a new Christian's life today? I mean, I'm not saying it's wrong to teach these things, but we need to, first of all, look at where they're at. If they haven't grasped the basic truths of being a new Christian and what it is to be a new Christian and how to deal with day-to-day problems, this information we're giving them on end times theology or whatever it may be will not help them at all. And basically what it does is distract from the things that they need to hear, the things that they need to learn as a new Christian. We need to ask ourselves, how does this relate, the things I'm teaching, how does this relate to where they're at today? And how can they relate this and apply this to their life? If it's something that they can't apply today, we shouldn't teach it. We shouldn't teach it. We should wait until they're a more mature Christian and that it is something that they can apply at that time. Our goal should be balanced growth and not teaching things that they don't need today, but the things that they do need, areas of personal problems, of Christian service or ministry, and of Christ-like lifestyle. These things are, we need to approach these things in a balanced way. Our personal studies curriculum, for the most part, has excellent lessons in all these different areas that we can use. And the curriculum is flexible to the point that we can bring in other lessons that can help our students with balanced growth as a new Christian, as a new believer. At this time, I'd like to turn it over to the panel right now for some further discussion on some of these things.
One of the points that you were talking about was the importance of helping students to feel accepted. I'm reminded of a couple of illustrations. One, I recall one new teacher, after he'd been working at a center for about a week, he came to a staff meeting and said, "I think we should kick all the students out because none of them are serious. None of them want help." And the point was made that if we could solve all their problems within a week in the program, then they didn't have any, they certainly didn't have very serious problems to begin with. But to be able to accept a student, I think, is very, very significant. I recall one student who was new in the program. He had started the first couple of lessons in the personal studies, and he called me to him, and he was really concerned because he was at the end of one lesson where it was talking about the plan of salvation. He said, "Do I have to become a Christian right now?" And I could tell he was really uptight about it. And I said, "No." I said, "There's no pressure. You know, the point is that you need to seriously consider the claims of Christ, and then when you're ready to make a decision, then go ahead." And it was almost like, phew, wow, just this big relief came over him, and it was almost like he could relax. He could, it's like he was accepted the way he was. Not if, you know, it wasn't like I have to do this before anybody here will accept me. And I think that is very critical. Whether they are Christian when they come in or whether they wait on making that decision for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, if we can show that we accept them as they are, I think that will have a profound effect on their willingness to open up and to really seriously look at the claims of Christ.
Do you have any other comments?
I want to pick up on the point you made, Greg, about we teach the lessons. We may present the lessons many times to the students, and to us it may become very repetitious. And I think there's a real need for the teacher to develop a genuine enthusiasm about these lessons, even if it's to share with the student, here's some ways that these truths have been helpful in my life. And I think it can have an impact on your life, too. Even though I may share that a lot or many times, it's the first time this person has heard that. And keeping that in mind, keeping in mind who I am and who they are the one that you know, maybe for the very first time hearing this or reading this. So for them, it's new.
I think on that same line, we need to continually, as a teacher, try to find new ways to communicate the same truth. Jesus frequently taught the same thing, but in different perspectives or from different angles, so to speak, so that we catch different views on it and find the most effective way to communicate to new Christians. Because I think some teachers I've seen, myself included, we've taught it this way and we get into a rut. instead of trying to find new ways, digging up new material on the same subject, even though it's simple truths, can really influence the enthusiasm we have in the way that we present it, trying to find variety in our presentation.
I'd like to say something about the subjects. You said that we need to, you know, stick to the simple truth of Christianity, and that is so true. I think, you know, after a girl has been in the program for 2 or 3 months, that she knows that God forgives her and that she can forgive herself. But in reality, sometimes it hasn't happened. And so they really need, to experience the forgiveness of God. Some of the subjects that I thought of that should be covered in induction would be receiving God's forgiveness. What is repentance? What does discipleship and commitment mean? Who is Jesus? Yieldedness to the Holy Spirit, and how to do spiritual battle. You know, fighting the thought life, you know, battling bad thoughts, and how to really take a stand for righteousness in our lives. So those are some of the subjects that I came up with.
One of the points that you talked about was the importance of showing love to our students. And I think that's a very realistic goal for us to have as teachers. And I'd like to tie that in with one of the other questions that you raised, and that is we need to be asking ourselves, what are my goals today as a teacher? And perhaps some of you other teachers can identify with this. There were times when, though I may not have been saying this out loud, I was thinking to myself, my goal today is to really communicate this so that my students will really learn and they'll really be enthused and they'll really catch the significance of the spiritual truth and they'll really get excited about it. And I come away at the end of the day and the students just sat there like a bunch of bricks and they were bored, they acted like they were bored, and I think, boy, I didn't accomplish anything today. And that line of thinking is, to me, not realistic. It is not realistic to have as my goal. My goal today is to make sure my students learn this. That's not realistic. It is realistic for me to set as my goal, I will try to effectively communicate it. I will try to communicate it creatively. I will try to communicate it with enthusiasm, with concern. And there may be some days, and there were some days, when I would walk away at the end of the day and I'd say, well, God, there is one thing I know I did. I did love you. I did express my love to you. And I did try to express love to these students. And that may be all that I can point a finger to and say, I know I accomplished that. And that to me is a very significant goal. You know, to say that I will see my students respond with enthusiasm, I can't do that. Dave Batty can now. Maybe some other people can. But in terms of expressing love to them, that is something that I can do. I can show it just through my attitude and through my concern. And sometimes we need to be careful that we don't get a little bit too unrealistic and think, well, my goal is to transform these people into, you know, spiritual giants in a few days here.
I think another thing that Greg brought up that I felt was really good is expressing love outside of the classroom or being a real person, taking time to play Frisbee. I think sometimes as teachers we conclude that learning takes place strictly in a classroom when they're watching our lives all day long and they need to see us outside of the classroom living what we've taught them for it to be really valuable to them and be real to them. I think it's really important we as teachers see our identity, not only as a teacher in a classroom, but as a teacher all day long, mm-hmm. You know. And what are we teaching them throughout the day? And are we taking time outside of the classroom to have any kind of association with them? Or are we just the teacher that comes in for a few hours and then is gone?
Okay, I believe this concludes this session. Mm-hmm.